everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empower Ed Podcast. And this is our special series on assessment in distance learning, particularly with online or virtual learning. And together with me is my co-host, Regan Austria. Hi, Regan.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. And we are all excited to welcome our guests. And of course, we invite special guests here. And what makes our guests special right now is that these two incredible persons are persons or teachers and educators and even school leaders who have been immersed with online learning for the past first year of the pandemic. So let us all welcome Nika Ruiz and Kevin Gerald Agustin. Hi, Nika. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Right. So Nika is the department chair of language. I think I'm right. Right, Nika?
Yes, yes. I am the subject area supervisor. That's the position. That's what we call the position in Miriam Grade School from grades 1 to 6.
And of course, we want to congratulate Nika because recently, Nika, do you want to share your recent successful story?
Yes, thank you very much. Credit to my mentor in the department, Joe B. Espino, for recommending me to the Department of English in the Ateneo. I am teaching 6 units of English 11 Purposive Communication this semester. Thank you. Hi, Jovi.
Thank you, Nika. So, Kevin, could you tell us something about yourself?
Hi, Jim. Hi, everyone. So, I am Mr. Kevin Agustin, and I'm teaching in Miriam College, Quezon City. I'm currently handling grades 4 and 5 teaching social studies. Or in Filipino, we call this Araling Panlipunan.
All right. So we have an English teacher and, of course, we have an Araling Panlipunan or social sciences teacher or social studies. So let's have a brief recap. So for this special series, you've heard Regan and I co-hosting, leading a discussion on assessments, and we've been doing different episodes on assessments in terms of formative assessment, summative assessment, and even involving parents and their role in the assessment progress of their kids, especially at this time when home-based learning is happening because of the pandemic. So let's start first with a short review. And of course, our short review will be, let's talk about feedback, because our topic for today is the importance of peer feedback and why it matters. But before we jump into that, Regan will be asking us our first question. I just want to ask Nika. Nika, can you remind us again what's feedback and why it matters right now?
Okay, thank you, Jim. Feedback is a response regarding our students' performance or behavior. So we give feedback verbally, in a written way, or could be gestural. That's feedback for me. It's essential that the process of providing feedback also is positive, so we can support our students' self-esteem and performance in class.
Agree. I think in the earlier episode that we had, Jim, we also discussed about the importance of feedback being a descriptive one, something that could guide the students along the way. So we can give a big picture about their progress in class. So really, when we talk about assessments, it will not be complete without giving feedback. However, part of it is also allowing our students to give feedback to each other. So when we talk about the lesson design, how we do our lesson plans, are we very conscious about providing opportunities for the students to share and respond to other students' work? Because that's part of feedback also, diba? And not only from the teacher, but also among them.
Uh-oh. During our face-to-face setup, we had this learning strategy called CLS, or also known as Collaborative Learning Strategy, So we group the students in twos, threes, or even fours. So in Filipino, pwedeng dalawahan, tatluhan, or apatan. So it actually depends on the activity. So this strategy will help students collaborate and give each other feedback and comments, which in return will help improve their answer to our question or to improve their output. Yeah. So since we are in the ODL setup now, we still provide opportunities for students to interact with each other through the Google Breakout Rooms. And of course, at the end of the session, ayan, students would be given the chance to share their answers. And at the same time, we teachers ask the students how they came up with their output. So you could hear how they discussed. And they also debated with each other so that they would come up with the best answer possible.
Mm-hmm. I think that brings us to another point in our discussion. No? Parang how do we train our students? I think you have already answered that question already, how we train our students to give feedback to one another. So having that CLS in class is an interesting way of putting a structure, some kind of structure in their dynamics in class.
Yes, I think Regan, with what Kevin mentioned, you create a safe space when you have implemented that right away. When you set that routine that okay, students, whenever we have group activities and you have already set that routine, it will already be natural for them. Okay, so after the group work or group presentation, I know that my classmates will give feedback to help me improve or help us, our group, improve our work. If you set that right away from the start, then the students will feel safe already. They will already look forward to the feedback of their classmates.
I love the structure that Kevin and Nika has mentioned. I think that's one key, one essential part of, you know, the logistical concern of feedback giving. We all have recognized that not all students will have that kind of openness, because feedback giving and even receiving entails a lot of trust. And of course, transparency and openness. And most of the time, I think the challenge really is not just on the quality. So we teach the students what kind of feedback they can give to their classmates or peers, but at the same time, even the manner. So there's a lot of things that are happening with this skill, and very much it compasses a lot of skill. I want to segue, if it's okay, let's talk about your experience. So Nika and Kevin are working with grade schoolers. What are the best experiences that you have or that you have seen among your students right now, even when they are online? So this is normal experience for them already. What are the, I think, most striking or maybe the best experiences that you can remember about peer feedback giving among your students?
There's a lot, because in our class in grade 5 AP social studies, we incorporate a lot of group activity by using the Google Breakout Room. So we really ask our students, you know, what are the things that they talk about during the session. And they would, like what I shared earlier, they will be sharing the things that they discussed and how they came up with their answer. And I would also like to share this one project that we had last year. So we had this project called Pecha Kucha. So my partner in grade 5 before suggested that we do this one for our final output in grade 5 social studies. So just to give a brief background on what Pecha Kucha is and how we administered the project. So it's actually a storytelling type presentation, 20 by 20, so 20 times 20. So you have 20 pictures, and for each picture you have 20 seconds to narrate. Then you move on to the next one. So basically the video will last for about 5 to 6 minutes. So it's a culmination of everything that they've learned in AP5, especially about nationalism. So the said project is also done in collaboration and integration with the reading area. So I would also like to add that since we are in the academe, that it's very important that we do collaboration with our teachers. okay, so that we can tackle the different topics and how we can make it easier for our students to understand. So moving on, so for every AP meeting that we had and in their reading class, there is a particular task that they have to accomplish in order to create the project, which is Pecha Kucha. So with the detailed instructions set in place, the students are now given the responsibility of doing the project. And we also included in the project that the students can choose their partners. And so we give them the opportunity to choose who their partner is. Okay, so since they have their partners already, they can give their comments and suggestions with their work. So, in Filipino, mas makikita nila or masusubaybayan nila yung gawa or yung work ng kanilang peer. Or they can monitor, they can comment, they can suggest on what their partner can improve with their project. Okay, so they would be able to help each other out. Yeah. So, we also check the outputs of the students and if they were able to follow the instruction. And what's striking about this project is that we can see that the students are really interacting with each other just to make, you know, their project to have a quality project, you know, at the end of the deadline. So there.
How many examples?
Yeah,
I love it. How about Mika? Mika, what are your experiences?
For me, I just mentioned two specific ideas. One, when we, like Kevin, when we divide the students into groups and then ask them to present their output, the first one is we just have to affirm what is right. So that's what I tell my students, okay? So first thing, you will affirm what is right about the presentation. So always praise, give positive feedback about what they did right, what was very good in the presentation, what was the highlight of the presentation. And then next, give a feedback that is kind and by not pointing out their mistakes. So it should be, instead of correcting the mistake, should always be supportive. Like, for example, if you're giving the chance to add more to that presentation, what can you add? Or what can you do to help the presentation become better? It's always the phrasing also of the feedback, not what were the mistakes? Where will we deduct the score? From what part? We don't say things like that, especially for grade schoolers, because we create a safe space and we promote using proactive and kind language in the classroom. So that's for me.
It's very interesting. Very interesting, no? You know, what I'm really proud about being a grade school teacher is that we, most of the time, we employ a lot of strategies. And we care so much about giving a safe space to our young ones, no? So that they can promote it as well among their peers. Pero parang... given your examples kanina, parang what I really noticed is that you were very careful in employing a lot of strategies so the students can be guided along the way, such as asking them about what you like or what you didn't like about the presentation, but you give a clear structure as to how they can encourage one another to improve on what they have learned.
Ito, this is beautiful. We, Kevin and I read this from Edutopia. When we give feedback or when we ask students to give feedback, they should follow the acronym SPARK. Have you heard of that? It's from Edutopia. They follow or they recommend the use of SPARK. When we give feedback, S should be specific. P should be prescriptive. A, actionable. R, reference. And K, kind. So we follow that specific should be the comment should be specific. You know where to which part to work on. Prescriptive, it's like offering a solution or strategy to improve the work. And then actionable, something that could be done. What steps should be taken for improvement? And then maybe Kevin would like to continue with R and K.
R, I reference the feedback, directly references the task criteria, requirements, or target skills. And K it's mandatory that all comments be framed in a kind, supportive way.
I love the pattern of four, especially the last one. Kind. I think this should also the spark method or strategy should also be used by teachers when giving feedback.
Yes.
especially the part where you need not just to be kind, but at the same time be specific. Yes. Not just, you know, writing the word explain and circling what is wrong or do better, stuff like that. Since we're sharing strategy, I think one thing that I've been checking lesson plans in kinder grade 1 and grade 2. They have a simple strategy, stars and wishes. So when they give feedback to their classmates, imagine kinder students in grade 1. So they give, this is a star for you, very symbolic. And then like what Nika has mentioned, this is my wish that you can add or do for your work. So I think Reagan also pointed a while ago, that's why we love being grade school teachers. We're very much aware of the need for structure. And because these are built earlier in the development of students, I'm pretty sure the high school teachers and the college teachers, if you continue with these kinds of strategies, you'll have an easier time to facilitate feedback giving. So that's a tip. Structure is very, very important. Reagan, you have another question. So the other side, so we have best practices and strategies. What's the other side, Reagan?
Yeah, we mentioned something about conducting activities in teamwork, collaborative activities. So the next question would be about enabling the students to produce joint reasoning and shared product in student collaboration. Kasi diba, when we talk about collaboration, it's not just about assigning them into groups and then expecting them to create something after a given time. So there's a lot of process that should come in while they are working on their activity. So how do you do it usually in your classes?
Answering Reagan's question, I've already stated that earlier. We're in the Pecha Kucha project. You gave the step-by-step instructions to the students at the beginning of the lesson or for that particular learning session. And for every learning session that we had, they need to produce an output. Okay, so for example, we have 10 learning sessions. So for the first learning session, that's where we lay the foundations of the project. And on the second day, they will meet with their reading teacher. They will be doing a timeline. And on the third learning session, AP, we will be formulating the story. So until we reach the 10th learning session, when they will be able to produce that final output.
Do they also share about what happened during the process of producing the product? Like, do they share their similarities and differences in beliefs while producing the product? So is that also part of the assessment that we provide? Kasi diba, that's also something important. Yung output is something, but the process that takes place is also something something essential that we should also consider when we talk about assessment. Nagtatalo-talo rin ba sila, and how do we present that to the whole class? Yan, para ano ba yung dynamics in the class when they do their presentation already? Kasi di ba, we cannot expect that everyone will agree on a common product lang right away. Kasi they will all have their own way of doing things, di ba? So pag kayo sa class niyo ba ganun din, how do you do it,
Miss Nika?
I think Reagan, compromise is the key. Because these students are very creative, they have so much ideas in mind. When you assign for them to choose the kind or output the quality of output, the kind of output that they'll be able to work on.
Mm-hmm.
There will be so much ideas, plans coming in. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to teach them also as young mm-hmm. as grade 2 or grade 3 mm-hmm. that they should be meet this day they would meet their students, their classmates halfway. So not okay. all ideas, not all your plans will work. Mm-hmm. Others' ideas might mm-hmm. be more doable or workable for this mm-hmm. output maybe. So you also have to teach that to students.
Yeah. That's also feedback in a way, diba?
Yes,
when we assess
yes.
them, diba? As they learn, parang if we are able to document that also, and we are able to encourage the groups to share about that, what yes, happened during yes. the group work, and that's also part of feedback para we can also guide them pa to improve further, no? Parang magandang practice niyo.
And also not, you know, as young as grade school, they'll be able to realize that not all of their plans or ideas or suggestions will always work according to their plan. Sometimes mm-hmm. we also have to consider the mm-hmm. the suggestions of our classmates, the feedback of our classmates to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to add, no, dun sa answer ni Mika, we should also teach our students how to communicate with their peers, because as we all know, our kids really have a lot of ideas going on with their minds, no? As young as they are, when you group them, they will give a lot of ideas. So it's really important that the start of the activity, we should already give them the value of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So communication is really important. Mm-hmm. We should also teach them how to be patient and to listen to their classmates, because there are times wherein, so for example, student A has this idea, student B has this idea, then if they will all say their ideas at the same time, then it will be chaos, right? So we should also teach them to listen, no, to each other, so that they would be able to come up, no, with the output, no, by listening to their classmates.
Mm-hmm. I agree, kasi it's a good training ground there. We have to build the consensus, diba? Parang to accept, embrace differences of one another, so they can jointly produce the desired output.
So going back to setting expectations and routines.
Yeah.
Because if they know from the start that they will be okay, so I'm working with my group, we'll be pitching in ideas, and I have to be open that my idea maybe won't be considered this time, maybe next time. And then we go back to that, creating safe space, creating a space where communication is good communication is followed, supported, and feedback is given, or feedback and suggestions are given positively and in a kind manner.
I love the idea of developing other skills other than the content that needs to be improved on. I think my favorite really is when the start of the school year, we have different modules, and one of my favorites actually conflict resolution module. So it's like, how do you negotiate with your classmate when your ideas are so different, or when you think both of your ideas are so great? So I love the idea of compromise, or maybe I think the better word that Nika has said a while is meeting halfway, and Kevin mentioned about being patient. I think that's very, very important, and I love that we're emphasizing the essential soft skills that we don't get to teach our student, you know, directly, but we're giving opportunities for them. So I think that's one thing that we want to emphasize. Feedback is not just about improving the product in itself. Reagan mentioned a while ago about the process itself, because the process is also a gold mine of a lot of learnings that are not that will not be bound by subject. Right after this lesson, then we're done. I think it's something that since you also emphasize about something that they can actually bring with them in the succeeding lessons, or even transfer in other subjects. So, yeah.
I think we're talking about differences and building consensus inside group works. So I think one thing that we can also talk about is how we assign roles to each member of the group. Because when we talk about collaboration, it entails performing some roles. And if that will be an effective collaboration, it has to be something that when one member was not able to perform the role effectively, then the desired product will not be able to produce. So, in dapat sana yung goal natin as we design our lessons. So, tayo ba in our classes, how do we give roles to each student? Do we give them the choice to assign which role to take? Ganyan ba?
In our CLS activities, group work in Miriam, I don't know with Kevin's class, but in my class, I already assigned. For example, girl A, you are the timekeeper. Girl B, you are the quiet angel. Girl C, you will be the writer or the one who will be writing on the whiteboard, etc. And then during the next activity, you can rearrange the roles so that everybody would be able to experience being a timekeeper, being like this. But if you're a timekeeper, it doesn't mean that you won't be working anymore and just keep on checking the time. No. You just have a more specific task aside from collaborating and working with your group. So I don't know. Kevin, do you have that in your class also? You assign, right?
Actually, in my class, I assign one leader, but no writer, no timekeeper. But before the start of the CLS, I always tell my students to prepare their notebook, because all of them will write down their ideas. So they all have the opportunity to write their ideas, share their ideas. So that's what I do in class. But there's a leader. For that leader will facilitate the group session, and every student is given the chance to share their ideas.
I believe that's one way of actually giving them roles. They're like all think tank masters. If you're thinking of a writing class, so they will, during brainstorming, they will all have to contribute an idea to be able to produce a shared idea as a group, no? So that's one thing. What does one practice that I think would be effective when we talk about collaboration? Gusto ko talaga yung collaborative learning strategies ninyo in Miriam. That's something that's really established already across the subject areas, no? And even in different grade levels.
I love the discussion. Coming from peer feedback giving and the same time putting in collaboration, I think that's very integral. Yeah. Nika, you want to say something?
Yes, and I'm happy that even in an online setup, we're still able to collaborate. Like what Kevin mentioned, they still collaborate and give feedback, do group work through the use of breakout rooms. It really helps, right? The use of breakout rooms.
Yes.
Because they're able to work, you know, more closely together given each room. So that's nice. Ganda yon.
So despite the distance, the physical distance, I think we can leverage technology and enable these opportunities. I think that's one important thing. A lot of us would compare. I mean, right now, there's still a comparison between face-to-face and online learning. Mm-hmm. But given our context, when we don't have much any choice, I think what we can do right now, we've heard from Kevin and Nika giving us examples of how we can leverage technology to provide, I love the word of Nika, that safe space to work together, to learn together. So there, I think we're good. We've touched on, I love that we moved to collaboration. So thank you, Regan, for bringing that out. Siguro, I think maybe last or a final words from our guests before we end our podcast episode. Final message to our listeners in terms of, you know, the challenges of feedback giving or the fun in it.
I'll do it first. As instructors, as teachers, we have the distinct responsibility to nurture our students in providing feedback in such a manner that the student does not leave the classroom feeling defeated. So when we also teach our students how to give peer feedback, we encourage them that. We encourage them to always give feedback in a supportive and kind way.
It is really important that as teachers, we should give feedback to our students. And at the same time, students should also learn how to give feedback to their classmates. Because I believe that through this, we would be able to help our students learn and to develop their self-confidence and to build that positive reinforcement amongst our students. So there.
And not just to give. We don't just teach students to give feedback. We also teach them how to receive also.
I just have to say it again that I really love exchanging ideas and strategies with fellow grade school teachers, because we, as I've said, we really care so much about the welfare of these children, and it's not just about attaining the lesson objectives at the end of each class, but it's about how each student is during the class, no? Parang I really like what Nika emphasized about creating a safe space while giving feedback. Kasi we know that a lot can happen during the exchange of feedback, whether peer-to-peer or student and teacher. That's something na talagang we really have to be careful. And Kevin mentioned about the importance of communication kanina. Again, yung feedback relies largely on communicating effectively, being able to communicate your thoughts, express your thoughts, and being able to receive, as Nika has mentioned, receive it how a student would receive a feedback, be it a constructive or something that, as you said, a wish, parang sa hinder kanina. So these are my takeaways. Sobrang saya.
All right. So thank you, Regan, Nika, and Kevin. I think the ideas that you have shared are so wonderful. And special gratitude to Kevin and Nika for giving us concrete examples. We talked about feedback giving, at the same time moving to collaboration and helping students to not only give feedback but actually work and receive and work on the feedback that's given. So thank you so much. It's been a wonderful episode with Nika and Kevin, and thank you, Regan, for co-hosting. For our audience there, we have other episodes that focus on agency or self-assessment or independent learning, and even the role of parents. Together, I think with feedback giving is the big idea on formative assessment. So please do check out our episode on formative assessments also. So there, thank you for staying with us and listening to the wonderful ideas of our guests. We hope to see you in our next episode. So thank you, everyone. Stay safe and goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Nika. Goodbye, Regan. And goodbye, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.